Good morning, Celeste Headley here, and Todd Zwillick is with us this morning, filling in for John Hockenberry today and tomorrow, right, Todd?
Yeah, that's right, Celeste.
Well, tomorrow, President Obama is going to present the Medal of Honor to the parents of Staff Sergeant Robbie Miller. He was killed in Afghanistan in 2008. But Miller is only the fourth person to receive the Medal of Honor for valor in Afghanistan. And that's our longest war. As I said before, 464 Medals of Honor were awarded for service during World War II, 246 for Vietnam. Why so few for Iraq and Afghanistan? We're joined now by Brendan McGarry, the database editor for the Army Times. And I should say the Army Times is not connected to the Army. That's right, Brendan?
That's correct.
Okay. So first, let's talk about these numbers and try to put them in perspective. Has the numbers of medals of honor that we've been awarding, has it just been steadily going down over the years?
Well, actually, yes. I mean, that was sort of the heart of the piece that we did recently for Army Times. We looked at the numbers sort of across generations and across conflicts, and what we found essentially was that America's 20th century wars produced highly consistent rates of Medal of Honor heroism, if you will. From World War I through Vietnam, the rate of Medal of Honor recipients stayed between 2 and 3 per 100,000 service members. Now, today, that rate has dropped to roughly 1 in a million.
So I'm going to repeat those again because that's pretty stark. It was 2 or 3 Medals of Honor per 100,000 service members, and we're now down to 1 Medal of Honor per million soldiers fighting.
Exactly. That's correct.
And it was actually, you were spurred into looking into this because you were getting letters from soldiers, right?
Absolutely. This idea was sort of very organic. We received numerous letters to the editor from both enlisted personnel as well as officers, sort of asking, the same question, you know, why the dearth of medals of honor? Why the dearth of the top valor awards? In fact, one Marine officer wrote us, he had a pretty good line. He asked, when will we see the first Marine, sailor, airman, or soldier from this generation wearing one? Who will be the living legacy of these wars, the narrators of the battles and sacrifices made over the last 7 years and those to come? We sort of looked at those. We knew, obviously, we were keeping track of the number of issuances of these awards, but it wasn't until we sort of started seeing these letters come in that we thought it was obviously worth sort of looking at a little more empirically.
Well, that's Brendan McGarry. He's the database editor for the Army Times. They've been looking into these numbers. But also with us is Doug Sterner. He's a military awards historian. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
And I want to read for both of you. We asked this question of the Department of Defense, and they sent us a written statement, and I want to read it to you. It says, technological advancements have reduced the personal risk associated with engaging some known insurgent positions, again reducing the opportunities that U.S. service members have to display the level of valor necessary to meet Medal of Honor criteria. And Doug, I'm wondering what your reaction is to that, that modern warfare has fewer opportunities for valor.
Well, what hasn't changed is the number of men and women who have been killed or wounded in action in the war. Those numbers are quite high in this current conflict. When Mr. McGarry did the numbers that he did, and they were, boy, right on with what I know as history, he also compared the numbers in terms of KIA, people killed in action, and found that, again, there was a great disparity between the current war and wars in history.
Well, Brendan, there's another reason people saying that we're getting fewer medals of honor, and that's related to the story of one soldier, Rafael Peralta. Could you tell us what happened with Rafael Peralta?
Sure. That's actually probably the most controversial story, and certainly the one that has generated quite a bit of press and coverage. Peralta was essentially a Marine who basically, by all accounts of his comrades, smothered a grenade to save their lives. They were raiding an area in a housing area, I believe, and a grenade was thrown. He by all accounts, and this was verified by by I think at least several of his witnesses, basically jumped on the grenade, killed himself, sacrificed himself for the lives of his fellow Marines, and he basically was named, was recommended. That went all the way up through the Corps. That was passed on to the Pentagon. The Secretary of Defense has to make the final approval there, and what many people viewed as a very rigorous application of the award criteria, it was ultimately denied. Secretary Gates actually had a sort of a forensics team look at the autopsy reports and sort of the witness statements, and it was ultimately
why was it denied?
Well, apparently the forensics folks said that it was not 100% that this in fact happened, that it wasn't the result of some kind of accident. They were basically saying that he may well have been
accidentally thrown himself on a grenade to save seven people,
or somehow in the course of the action it was not deliberate.
But many people say that the real reason was political, that because he came to the United States as an illegal immigrant, that's why he didn't get the Medal of Honor. And Doug Stirner, I wanted to ask you about, what does it say to you as you look back historically that we're in a position where Rafael Peralta, there's a possibility he didn't receive the Medal of Honor because of his immigration status?
Well, I think that could very well be true. Now, one of my dear friends who passed away a few years ago, Silvestre Herrera, when he was drafted in World War II, was an illegal immigrant. He was studying to take his citizenship papers when he was grievously wounded and earned the Medal of Honor in Italy. And in his case, the Army assigned tutors to help him so that he would be a citizen when President Truman presented him the Medal of Honor. But with the Peralta case, two things that stand out. Number one, as Mr. McGarry said, this was approved by the Commandant of the Marine Corps, the Secretary of the Navy, and then denied by a forensics board, which was primarily Army officers. So we had a case of U.S. Army leadership denying a Medal of Honor to a U.S. Marine, and I find it incomprehensible that members of one service would be deciding who in another service was eligible for the Medal of Honor.
Well, at this point, maybe we need a change of definition at the level of valor necessary to meet the Medal of Honor criteria, as the Department of Defense describes it. That was Doug Stirner, military awards historian. We also spoke with Brennan McGarry, database editor for the Army Times. They've really been doing some amazing work looking into these numbers of Medals of Honor recipients. And we want to hear from you at this. Have you served? What are your thoughts? Have you or someone you know received the Medal of Honor? Can we fight a war and end up with very little opportunities for valor? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAPE.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.